The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, once again, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners at WTBR-FM 89.7 Pittsfield. We are continuing to read, once again, The Gods of Pagana, specifically Time and the Gods by Lord Dunsany. And we are at The Journey of the King, which is the final part of the book and the longest part. So there are several parts. And last week we read up to part two. So now we're going to continue with that. Part two. Then the king called to Yenath, bidding him speak concerning the journey of the king. Yenath was the prophet that sat at the eastern gate of the temple of Gorandhu. There Yenath prayed his prayers to all the passers-by, lest ever the gods should go abroad, and one should pass him dressed in mortal guise. And men are pleased as they walk by that eastern gate that Yenath should pray to them for fear that they be gods. So men bring gifts to Yenath in the eastern gate. And Yenath said, "All knowledge is with the king. When a strange ship comes to anchor in the air outside thy chamber window, thou shalt leave thy well-kept garden, and shall become a prey to the nights and days, and be covered again with grass. But going aboard, thou shalt set sail over the sea of time, and well shall the ship steer through the many worlds, and still sail on. If other ships shall pass thee on the way, and hail thee, saying, From what port? Thou shalt answer them, From earth. And if they ask thee, Whither bound? Then thou shalt answer, The end. Or thou shalt hail them, saying, From what port? And they shall answer, From the end, called also the beginning, and bound to earth. And thou shalt sail away, till like an old sorrow dimly felt by happy men, the word shall gleam in the distance like one star. And as the star pales, thou shalt come to the shore of space, where eons rolling shorewards from time's sea shall lash up centuries to foam away in years. There lies the center garden of the gods, facing full seawards. All around lie songs that on earth were never sung, fair thoughts not heard among the worlds, dream pictures never seen that drifted over time without a home, till at last the eons swept them on to the shore of space. And in the center garden of the gods bloom many fancies. Therein once some souls were playing where the gods walked up and down and to and fro. And a dream came in more beauteous than the rest on the crest of a wave of time. And one soul going downward to the shore clutched at the dream and caught it. Then over the dreams and stories and old songs that lay on the shore of space, the hours came sweeping back, and the centuries caught that soul and swirled him with his dream far out to the sea of time. And the eons swept him earthwards and cast him into a palace with all the might of the sea and left him there with his dream. The child grew to a king and still clutched at his dream till the people wondered and laughed. Then, O king, thou didst cast thy dream back into the sea, and time drowned it, and men laughed no more. But thou didst forget that a certain sea beat on distant shore, and that there was a garden and therein souls. But at the end of the journey that thou shalt take, when thou comest to the shore of space again, thou shalt go up to the beach, and coming to a garden gate that stands in a garden wall, shalt remember these things again, for it stands where the hours assail not above the beating of time, far up the shore, and nothing altereth there. So thou shalt go through the garden gate, and hear again the whispering of the souls when they talk low, where sing the voices of the gods. There, with kindred souls, thou shalt speak as thou didst of yore, and tell them what befell thee beyond the tides of time, and how they took thee and made of thee a king, so that thy soul found no rest. There, in the center garden, thou shalt sit at ease and watch the gods, all rainbow-clad, go up and down and to and fro on the paths of dreams and songs, and shalt not venture down to the cheerless sea. For that which a man loves most is not on this side of time, and all which drifts on its eons is allure. All knowledge is with the king. Then said the king, "Aye, there was a dream once, but time hath swept it away." It's an interesting story, and we'll hear more interesting stories, but first, a message from our sponsor.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, "Alexa, play WTBRFM," and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Welcome to the M&M Show. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
Listen to us every Tuesday from 10 to 12. For eclectic variety of 70s to today of every genre on WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield Community Radio.
Radio like it used to be.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And we're back. For those just tuning in, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turner's reading Time and the Gods by Lord Dunsany. We are now at part 3 of The King's Journey. Then spake Moneth, prophet of the Temple of Azure that stands on the snow peak of Amun, and said, "All knowledge is with the king. Once thou didst set out upon a one day's journey, riding thy horse, and before thee had gone a beggar down the road, and his name was Yeb. Him thou didst overtake, and when he heeded not thy coming, thou didst ride over him. Upon the journey that thou shalt one day take, riding upon no horse, this beggar has set out before thee, and is laboring up the crystal steps towards the moon, as a man goeth up the steps of a high tower in the dark. On the moon's edge, beneath the shadow of Mount Angises, he shall rest again, and then shall climb the crystal steps again. Then a great journey lies before him before he may rest again, till he come to that star that is called the Left Eye of Gundo. Then a journey of many crystal steps lieth before him again, with naught to guide him but the light of Amrazu. On the edge of Amrazu shall Yeb tarry long, for the most dreadful part of his journey lieth before him. Up the crystal steps that lie beyond Amrazu he must go, and any that follow, though the howling of all the meteors that ride the sky. For in that part of the crystal space go many meteors up and down, all squealing in the dark, which greatly perplex all travelers. And if he may see through the gleaming of the meteors, and in spite of their uproar come safely through, he shall come to the star Amrund at the edge of the track of stars. And from star to star, along the track of stars, the soul of a man may travel with more ease, and there the journey lies, no more straightforward, but curves to the right. Then said Cain Ebalon, "Of this beggar whom my horse smote down, thou hast spoken much. But I sought to know by which road a king should go down when he taketh his last royal journey, and what princes and what people should meet him upon another shore." Then answered Monith, "All knowledge is with the king. It hath been doomed by the gods, who speak not in jest, that thou shalt follow the soul that thou didst send alone upon its journey, that that soul go not unattended upon the crystal steps. Moreover, as this beggar went upon his lonely journey, he dared to curse the king, and his curses lie like a red mist along the valleys and hollows wherever he uttered them. By these red mists, O king, thou shalt track him as a man follows a river by night, until thou shalt fare at last to the land wherein he hath blessed thee, repenting of anger at last. And thou shalt see his blessing lie over the land, like a blaze of golden sunshine illuminating fields and gardens." Then said the king, "The gods have spoken hard above the snowy peak of this mountain Amun." And Monith said, "How a man may come to the shore of space beyond the tides of time, I know not. But it is doomed that thou shalt certainly first follow the beggar past the moon, Amrund and Amrazu, till thou comest to the track of stars, and up the track of stars, coming towards the right along the edge of it, till thou comest to Ngazi. There the soul of the beggar Yeb sat long, then, breathing deep, set off on his great journey earthward adown the crystal steps. Straight through the spaces where no stars are found to rest at, following the dull gleam of earth in her fields, till he comes at last where journeys end and start." Then said Cain Ebalon, "If this hard tale be true, how shall I find the beggar that I must follow when I come again to the earth?" And the prophet answered, "Thou shalt know him by his name, and find him in this place, for that beggar shall be called King Ebalon, and he shall be sitting upon the throne of kings of Zarkandu." And the king answered, "If one sit upon the throne whom men call King Ebalon, who then shall I be?" And the prophet answered, "Thou shalt be a beggar, and thy name shall be Yeb. And thou shalt ever tread the road before the palace, waiting for alms from the king, whom men shall call Ebalon." Then said the king, "Hard gods indeed are those that tramp the snows of Amun about the temple of Azur. For if I sinned against this beggar called Yeb, they too have sinned against him when they doomed him to travel on this weary journey, though he hath not offended." And Monith said, "He too hath offended, for he was angry as thy horse struck him, and the gods smite anger. And his anger and his curses doom him to journey without rest, as also they doom thee." Then said the king, "Thou that sittest upon Amun in the temple of Azur, dreaming thy dreams and making prophecies, foresee the ending of this weary quest and tell me where it shall be." And Monith answered, "As a man looks across great lakes, I have gazed into the days to be. As the great flies come upon four wings of gauze to skim over blue waters, so hath my dreams come sailing two by two out of the days to be. And I dreamed that King Ebalon, whose soul was not thy soul, stood in his palace in a time far hence, and beggars thronged the street outside, and among them was Yeb, a beggar, having thy soul. And it was on the morning of a festival, and the king came robed in white, with all his prophets and his seers and magicians, all down the marble steps to bless the land, and all that stood therein as far as the purple hills. because it was the morning of festival. And as the king raised up his hand over the beggars' heads to bless the fields and rivers and all that stood therein, I dreamed that the quest was ended. All knowledge is with the king. Part 4. Evening darkened, and above the palace domes gleamed out the stars, whereon haply others missed the secret too. And outside the palace in the dark, they that had borne the wine and jeweled cups mocked in low voices at the king and at the wisdom of his prophets. Then spake Ynar, called the prophet of the Crystal Peak, for there rises Amanath above all that land, a mountain whose peak is crystal. And Ynar beneath its summit hath his temple, and when day shines no longer on the world, Amanath takes the sunlight and gleams afar as a beacon in a bleak land lit at night. And at the hour when all faces are turned on Amanath, Ynar comes forth beneath the crystal peak to weave strange spells and to make signs that people say are surely for the gods. Therefore it is said in all those lands that Ynar speaks at evening to the gods when all the world is still. And Ynar said, all knowledge is with the king, and without doubt it hath come to the king's ears how certain speech is held at evening on the peak of Amanath. They that speak to me at evening on the peak are they that live in a city through whose streets death walketh not. And I have heard it from their elders that the king shall take no journey. Only from thee the hills shall slip away, the dark woods, the sky, and all the gleaming worlds that fill the night. And the green field shall go on untrodden by thy feet, and the blue sky ungazed at by thine eyes. And still the rivers shall all run seaward, but making no music in thine ears. And all the old laments shall still be spoken, troubling thee not. And to the earth shall fall the tears of the children of earth, and never grieving thee. Pestilence, heat, and cold, ignorance, famine, and anger, these things shall grip their claws upon all men, as heretofore in fields and roads and cities, but shall not hold thee. But from thy soul, sitting in the old worn track of the worlds when all is gone away, shall fall off the shackles of circumstance, and thou shalt dream thy dreams alone. And thou shalt find that dreams are real, where there is naught as far as the rim, but only thy dreams and thee. With them thou shalt build palaces and cities resting upon nothing, and having no place in time, not to be assailed by the hours or harmed by ivy or rust, not to be taken by conquerors, but destroyed by thy fancy if thou dost wish it so, or by thy fancy rebuilded. And naught shall ever disturb these dreams of thine, which here are troubled and lost by all the happenings of earth, as the dreams of one who sleeps in a tumultuous city. For these thy dreams shall sweep outward like a strong river over a great waste plain, wherein are neither rocks nor hills to turn it. Only in that place there shall be no boundaries nor sea, neither hindrance nor end. And it were well for thee that thou shouldst take few regrets into thy waste dominions from the world wherein thou livest. For such regrets or any memory of deeds ill done must sit beside thy soul forever in that waste, seeing one son always a forlorn remorse. And they too shall be only dreams, but very real. There naught shall hinder thee among thy dreams, for even the gods may harass thee no more when flesh and earth and events with which they bound thee shall have slipped away. Then said the king, I like not this grey doom, for dreams are empty. I would see action roaring through the world, and men and deeds. Then answered the prophet, victory, jewels, and dancing, but please thy fancy. What is the sparkle of the gem to thee without thy fancy, which it allures? And thy fancy is all a dream. Action and deeds and men are not without dreams, and do but fetter them. And only dreams are real. And where thou stayest when the world shall drift away, there shall be only dreams. And the king answered, A mad prophet! And Dinar said, A mad prophet, but believing that his soul possesses all things of which his soul may become aware, and that he is a master of that soul. And thou, a high-minded king, believing only that thy soul possesses such few countries as are leaguered by thine armies in the sea, and that thy soul is possessed by certain strange gods, of whom thou knowest not, who shall deal with it in a way whereof thou knowest not? Until a knowledge come to us that either is wrong, I have wider realms, I, king, than thee, and hold them beneath no overlords. Then said the king, Thou hast said no overlords. To whom then dost thou speak by strange signs at evening above the world? And Dinar went forward and whispered to the king. And the king shouted, Seize ye this prophet, for he is a hypocrite and speaks to no gods at evening above the world, but has deceived us with his signs. And Dinar said, Come not near me, or I shall point towards you when I speak at evening upon the mountain with those that ye know of. Then Dinar went away, and the guards touched him not. Part 5. Then spake the prophet Thun, who was clad in seaweed and had no temple, but lived apart from men. All his life he had lived on a lonely beach, and had heard forever the wailing of the sea and the crying of the wind in hollows among the cliffs. Some said that having lived so long by the full beating of the sea, and where always the wind cries loudest, he could not feel the joys of other men, but only felt the sorrow of the sea crying in his soul forever. Long ago, on the path of stars, midmost between the worlds, there strode the gods of old. In the bleak middle of the worlds they sat, and the world went round and round, like dead leaves in the wind at autumn's end, with never a life on one, while the gods went sighing for the things that might not be. And the centuries went over the gods to go where the centuries go, toward the end of things, and with them went the sighs of all the gods as they longed for what might not be. One by one in the midst of the worlds fell dead the gods of old, still sighing for the things that might not be, all slain by their own regrets. Only Shimono Kani, the youngest of the gods, made him a harp out of the heartstrings of all the elder gods, and, sitting upon the path of stars in the middle of things, played upon the harp a dirge for the gods of old. And the song told of all vain regrets and of unhappy loves of the gods in the olden time, and of their great deeds that were to adorn the future years. But into the dirge of Shimono Kani came voices crying out of the heartstrings of the gods, all sighing still for the things that might not be. And the dirge and the voices crying go drifting away from the path of stars, away from the midst of things, till they come twittering among the worlds like a great host of birds that are lost by night. And every note is a life, and many notes become caught up among the worlds to be entangled with flesh for a little while before they pass again on their journey to the great anthem that roars at the end of time. Shimono Kani hath given a voice to the wind and added a sorrow to the sea. But when in lighted chambers, after feasting, there arises the voice of the singer to please the king, then is the soul of that singer crying aloud to his fellows from where he stands chained to earth. And when, at the sound of the singing, the heart of the king grows sad, and his princes lament that they remember, though knowing not that, they remember it, the sad face of Shimono Kani, sitting by his dead brethren, the elder gods, playing on the harp of crying heartstrings, whereby he sent their souls among the worlds. And when the music of one lute is lonely on the hills at night, then one soul calleth to his brother souls the notes of Shimono Kani's dirge, which have not been caught among the worlds. And he knoweth not to whom he calls or why, but knoweth only that minstrelry is his only cry, and sendeth it out into the dark. But although in the prison houses of earth all memories must die, yet as there sometimes clings to a prisoner's feet some dust of the fields wherein he was captured, so sometimes fragments of remembrance cling to a man's soul after it hath been taken to earth. Then a great minstrel arises, and, weaving together the shreds of his memories, maketh some melody such as the hand of Shimono Kani smites out of his harp. And they that pass by say, "Hath there not been some such melody before?" And pass on, sad at heart for memories which are not. Therefore, O King, one day the great gates of thy palace shall lie open for a procession, wherein the king comes down to pass through a people lamenting with lute and drum. And on the same day a prison door shall be opened by relenting hands, and one more lost note of Shimono Kani's dirge shall go back to swell his melody again. The dirge of Shimono Kani shall roll on, till one day it shall come with all its notes complete to overwhelm the silence that sits at the end of things. Then shall Shimono Kani say to his brethren's bones, "The things that might not be have at last become." But very quiet shall be the bones of the gods of old, and only their voices shall live which cried from the harp of heartstrings for the things which might not be. And that's all we have for today. As usual, I enjoyed reading to you, and as usual, I hope you enjoyed listening. This is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners. I will read to you again next time.